This week's message is titled Christmas. The scripture reading is Luke 2, 1-7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
I'm grateful that you're with us today, and I just want to say a few more things that have already been spoken today in regarding this day. We're very grateful that Kate brought with her a nativity baby today, so we're grateful for that. So we've been talking about the canticles of Christmas, and if this is the first time that you've been here for this month, the canticle is a worship or praise taken directly out of the scripture. And so the first one was the Benedictus, Zechariah, when he heard from the angel Gabriel that Elizabeth was going to bear a child and it was going to be John the Baptist. Then, of course, we looked at the Magnificat, which means glory, and Mary's response about peace and humility. And then today we'll finish up with the next two, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, the praise of the angels, and then the Nunc Dimittis, which means I'm now being dismissed in God's peace by Simeon. I had a strange thought this morning. The fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and all of that went around, what the environment was like, what the weather was like. If it's true, we don't really know when Jesus was born, but if it's true that Jesus was born on December 25th, I wonder what it would have been like if God chose Jesus to be born in Sunridge or Timmins or North Bay. I think it would change the whole air. There wouldn't be too many shepherds out in the field in December if it was on North Bay. But it's the story that just kind of invites us into something that we Canadians are not really used to. Number one, the culture and what it was like 2,000 years in the past. So we're going to use our imagination as well as the scripture today, and we'll look at these last two canticles of Christmas. In Luke chapter 1, and you know this scripture like I do, the angel Gabriel said to Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then this hit me. Do you know, Mary, that when you hold this baby and kiss this baby, that you are holding and kissing God Himself? Because Jesus is the exact representation of God Himself. Baby Jesus, God incarnate. So when we look into the eyes of a brand new baby, have we ever stopped to think, I'm looking into the eyes of God? And at Christmas time, I wonder if we can just go into the story that we know fairly well and maybe look at some things that we haven't looked at before. I don't know if you've ever heard someone say this to you. Maybe because of my profession, I've heard it many, many, many times. But some people have said that Christmas has nothing to do with religion. And for some, maybe it doesn't. But for many of us, Christmas has everything to do with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with us, and the whole world. I want you to go with me on this journey today, a journey that you've been on before. And let's just take a look at some of these wonderful things that have taken place. So if you want to follow along in your Bible, we're not using PowerPoint today, but you can follow along in your Bible if you wish. I'm going to start reading Luke chapter 2 in verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and in verse 8. And I hope that you won't get caught up in the reading as much as you get caught up in what the reading is expressing. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The fact that they're living out there means that they're not just there for a couple of days, or they're not there for 8 to 12 hours and they go home, but they were living out there. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel, Gabriel, said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now, this is just a sidebar. This story is of a baby who is going to be born, Jesus, who is a Jew, and many in the story are from Israel, and so they're Jews. But have you ever noticed who's writing this story? A Gentile. It's Luke. And Luke, as a Gentile, is blown away by the fact that as a Gentile, he is welcome into the kingdom of God, first class, just as all of us are in North America. And Luke is making it clear in the writing that this is not just a Jewish story. This is not just for the house of Israel, even though many of the characters, of course, involved are, but this is for all of us, not just 2,000 years ago, but it's as fresh today in our hearts if we allow it to be so in 2019, almost 2020. And so he says in verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then this word, "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, Gabriel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to people whom his favor rests.'" This can't really just be read. If we could put ourselves in this story, this great company of the heavenly host, and they're praising God, can't you just hear what it would be like? And here is this Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Here is this canticle. It's worship. And it's praise, and it's angels, it's the heavenly host. What would that sound like? Can you just hear the praise of these angels? And even though the angels know God, the angels have come to love and glorify God. Angels who live in the presence of God can't help but praise and worship and glorify God. I think maybe one of the first things that we're going to do when we see God face to face is glorify him and worship him, because that's how he made us, to love him, to know him, to glorify him. And that's why Christmas is so special, as a reminder, if the angels are going to worship him, if the heavenly hosts are going to worship him, then can't we? It's an experience of putting ourselves in the story that many, many years later, it can be fresh and vibrant when we put ourselves in this story. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed what the shepherds said to them. So we know the story. We've read it already many times. And I'm the first person to confess I missed this fact when it said they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They didn't just keep it to themselves. They went out and they shared the news. They shared the story of Christmas. I was looking at this video this past week, the one that we just saw, and it just touched me. It just moved me. Where would we see Jesus today if he were here? Of course, he is living in us, but where would we see him today? Where did we see Jesus in the video? He was with people who were hurting, who were lonely, who were marginalized, disenfranchised, people that maybe we don't spend a lot of time with. Jesus is for everyone. And not only the angels and the heavenly host praising and worshiping, but co-starring with them is the shepherds. And shepherds were not always welcomed in town. They were living out in the fields. And if you go back and read some of the history, shepherds weren't always welcomed. Bath wasn't really heard of too much by shepherds living out in the fields. They lived out there. They smelled like sheep. And in this story, you have all of these people who've come together to celebrate, just as we do today. And then it's interesting, verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So when we read the Magnificat, we heard that. We heard Mary's pondering before the child was born. When she hears that she's going to give birth to the Son of God, there are no words that would adequately express how she was feeling. But she expressed humility. And now that the birth has come and all of these people are here, she's saying, basically, I think, everyone is welcome. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And I'd love to be on that wagon, if you will, if they had wagons back last time, with the shepherds going back and talking about this. What were they saying? What was the conversation like? It might be something like if you and I put ourselves in that story, our dialogue with one another. Oh, this struck me. Oh, really? That's cool. I never thought, what about this? It's a story that welcomes all of us into the angels, the shepherds, Mary, Joseph. We're all invited to enjoy the conversation at Christmas. Often we leave the story at Christmas here, but it's the invitation to be brought into it because of what happens next. Verse 21, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two pigeons. And then verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the quotation, consolation, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And in my study Bible, I thought, well, I'm really not sure what this is all about. And it means this, the comfort the Messiah would bring to his people. Simeon was waiting for that. He was waiting for this Savior who would come. Then in verse 26, it said, it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms. So you can picture that, Simeon taking the child out of Joseph's arms or of Mary's arms. And I don't know if they even knew Simeon. Simeon takes this baby and says, the nunc dimittis, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. We don't know when that was, but Simeon, God gave him a promise. Either he whispered it into his ear, or it was just known to him that God had told Simeon that he would see the Son of God. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. One of the things that Christmas can do for us, if we allow it, and I confess to not doing this well, is if we can allow the story to be our story, and if we can allow ourselves peace that rests upon us. Christmas can be busy, lots of stuff going on, but oftentimes in the original story, the Christmas has an emotion attached to it, the brilliance, the praise, the worship, but also this. And just let it come, the peace of Christmas. And then he says in verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of, and Luke's never going to forget this, all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. And the child's father and mother marveled at what had been said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And I don't like reading these next words, but it's why we have a Savior. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. And there was also a prophetess, Anna. There are many prophetesses in the Bible. Deborah was a prophetess. Huldah was a prophetess. Daughters of Philip were a prophetess. Miriam were prophets. But there was this prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. We wouldn't say that today, but she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but she worshiped in the temple day and night, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. The consolation of Israel, the consolation, the redemption for all of us. I really do wish everyone a wonderful, happy, beautiful Christmas. And may the peace that Simeon felt be upon you at Christmas.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.